Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been. I trust that you've already enjoyed and are thankful that you made it to church today. And the music program is designed to minister to our spirits and our hearts. And it is something that we pray over and we want God to use it. And I trust He has used that this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6. Possibly one of the greatest passages of Scripture is Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's looked at as the blueprint for genuine Christianity, how to live the Christian life. And just a tremendous, every believer ought to read these chapters over and over as often as you can, because they have such power and such truth in them. And so here in chapter 7, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, thank you, Lord, for making this available, the opportunity to be in church to all that are here. And God, as they've taken advantage of opportunity to be in church, I pray, God, that you would continue to speak to each one. Pray that they would receive that spiritual food that they have need of to live a spiritual life. I ask, God, that you would use me today once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Right after Jesus taught his disciples in chapter 6, there at the end, not to seek first the things of this world. Not to seek first the things of this world, but to seek first the things of God. How important that is. Right after that, he gave this message, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. I'd like to preach to you three thoughts concerning our treatment of others. Three thoughts on our treatment of others. Very critically important. As we look to be the Christians, the disciples of Christ that He wants us to be, how we treat one another. If you look at this, and I think that I'll be able to help you to see that it's a progression to know how to help. Every believer ought to want to use the blessings of God that He gives to us to be a help to others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that God is working through us in our lives to be a blessing to our families, to our friends, to our church family, to the world. When we know that God is able to work through us, can I tell you, It does something for you that nothing else can do. Jesus knew this. The question that we ought to ask ourselves is, how do I treat others? How am I treating others? Jesus gives us this passage here to help us to know how to treat others. I believe if you look on down at chapter 7 and verse 12, this is probably the most well-known of chapter 7, the verses when he says this, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." The biblical law that God has given to us and the way that we ought to live our lives, and many would look to this and call that the golden rule to live by. To treat others the way that you would want them to treat you. In order to do that, we have to understand verses 1 through 6. And I'd like to ask you this morning, would anyone want to be judged by those who do not have full knowledge? Would you want to be judged by a court of law that did not understand the circumstances by which you have been accused? Would you want to have somebody else determine your intentions without knowing your heart? Would you want someone to automatically say that they know what you're thinking without truly being able to read and look inside of your mind? Judge not. That's what Jesus is pointing out to them. Judge not. Now, all of us, if you will, are guilty of this from time to time. That is judging others without full knowledge. Have you ever said, it's not what it looks like? Let me explain. Because you already believe that that person has got the wrong opinion. And they're going to judge you by not having the full understanding or the full knowledge. I remember I went to the airport and I was listening to a CD in the car, and I shut the car off, go and help the preacher that was coming in and help them get loaded into my trunk and get everything together. We got back in the car and I started up and rock music just started blaring out of the speakers. And I said, whoa, I don't know where that came from. Oh, sure, preacher, now we know. Yeah. The CD automatically went off, and then it went to the radio station. Who knows what? I never listened to the radio stations. I'm always listening to CDs, either preaching or music from Lighthouse Music or that. But it went right to this rock music, and I knew, boy, if he judges me based on what he just heard, have you been there? That's what Jesus is addressing here. Judge not that ye be not judged. And then he says, for with what judgment you judge? Is this how you want people to judge you? Without full knowledge? Ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. We're not here to serve the Lord by judging others. There is no spiritual gift given for us to judge the heart or the intent or the motives of others. There's no spiritual gift for that. We've not been equipped to judge what we cannot fully know. God does not give us access into one another's minds. Thank the Lord. God does not give us access to truly know the heart Now, in time, you might get to know people better than before, but you really do not know what is going on inside the heart and inside the mind of someone else. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. And he is the one that's able to, because God has all knowledge. It's God that can read your mind. It is an almighty God who does know the intent of the heart. That qualifies him because he has full understanding, he has full knowledge to judge the righteous and the wicked. We do not have full knowledge. So don't judge that which you do not and cannot understand, fully understand. However, the second part of that is we are to use judgment. There is a spiritual discernment that God will give us to be able to use judgment. The Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, let me just read it to you, but Hebrews, write it down. I want you to study this afterwards. But Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 14 says this, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." It means you have a better understanding. You have more of the Word of God. You understand the Scriptures. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, and with the insight of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit to discern both good and evil." We do need to have a discerning spirit to be able to use judgment to determine what is good and what is evil. If you go back to Matthew chapter 7, he will clarify this. After he's established verses 1 through 6, then he clarifies that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. When he says this, "Beware of false prophets." Just because somebody tells you that they're a prophet, because somebody tells you that they're a Christian, because somebody tells you they're a pastor, "beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." I'm not to judge what I can't know, the mind, the heart. But he warns that there are those that appear to be one way that are something else. "Ye shall know them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." He cannot continue to bring forth good fruit. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is honed down and cast into the fire." Now verse 20. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Can't see into somebody's heart and mind. I cannot judge their intent, their motives. But I can be a fruit inspector. That's what he's telling us here. We need to allow God's Word and God's Spirit that dwells within us to guide us to evaluate how we are to respond to all situations. This is critically important in the Christian life. This is something that these six verses will tie together in how we treat one another. And the first thing in this progression of how we treat one another, the first thing that God wants us to understand and to get established in our heart, be careful not to judge that which you do not have full knowledge of. But once you have the knowledge of the Word of God, once you understand what is right and what is wrong, then you can understand and you can use judgment to know what is good and what is evil. Because we have to use judgment. Every one of us will use judgment every time we meet somebody. Whether you want to or not, it's just the way that we click. It's the way the mind works. You will make up, you will have a first impression, and with that first impression, you will determine certain things. Now, the things that you cannot know, then you need to put aside. Don't let Satan put something in your mind concerning somebody that you do not fully understand or know. You have to put that aside and say, I am not going to judge that person's intent. I am not going to judge that person's heart. But I can tell you, if they're wearing a police uniform, more than likely that's a police officer. If they're dressed in a white gown or whatever it might be and have some medical equipment around them, they probably work in the medical field. You understand these things because now you're looking at what you can see and you can identify what you do see with that which is either of the world or that which is of God. That which aligns itself with the Bible and that which aligns itself with Christianity or that which does not. That's why it's very important that we do understand. We have the Word of God. We know the Word of God. And we are yielded to the Spirit of God that can bear witness with our spirit because the Spirit of God can determine the intent and the motive. But he tells them in this progression of how we treat one another, the first thing is, don't judge that which you do not have full knowledge of. The second thing, verse 3 down to verse 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Can you really do that? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then, once you have the insight of God, once you are walking with God, you have the right motives, shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In this progression, we are to cast out beams before we become concerned about motes or splinters. If we would first judge ourselves, amen. If we would first, and we ought to, first of all, that's what the Lord is talking about here. When you're treating other people, when you know how to, when you're looking to how to treat one another, you have to look at yourself, and you cannot be picking out splinters in other people's lives when you have problems and beams in your own life. We need to, first of all, cast out the beams. God wants us to help others. But you cannot help others if you have a beam of sin in your life. First thing is to get rid of the sin. If we would first judge ourselves, confess and forsake sin that would be a hindrance to us and God using us, then God would use us. He says, why? See that in verse 3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? And the answer is, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye. Too often a person's focus on the faults of others makes it easier to ignore their own sins. If I can look to somebody else and say, well, I'm better than they are, at least I'm not doing that. Is that the way that we ought to live our lives? Trying to hang around people that are worse than we are so that we make ourselves feel better? Hang around drunkards and murderers and whoremongers and say, well, I feel good when I'm around them. I'm better than they. That's not the Christian life. That's not how God is going to work through you to be a help to somebody else. Keep your heart and your mind pure. Keep yourself in a position where God can work through you to be a help and a blessing to others. If you have beams in your eyes, you cannot be focused on the splinters in somebody else's lives. John chapter 8, he gives us an illustration here, a perfect illustration that helps us with this. In John chapter 8, scribes and the Pharisees were wanting to try to trick Jesus into saying some things and doing something that they could hold him guilty of the law, whether the law of the Old Testament or the law of the Romans, so that they could have him incarcerated. And they put him through several tests. This is one. The Bible says this, and verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Are you going to agree with Moses? You're going to agree with the Roman law? Whatever he would have said and what they're trying to back him into saying something where they could accuse him of either the laws of the Moses or the laws of the Romans. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I believe that he knew each one of them have some beams in their eyes. People wonder what he wrote in the ground. We don't know, but whatever it was, I believe one at a time, he picked them out and he started writing something down that revealed a beam. And as he wrote it down, they got convicted of the beam in their own eye and they left. That's what the Bible's telling us here. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one when they realized, compared to what this woman's doing, knowing the heart and the intent, how she was raised, and probably not knowing any better, never having anyone who loved her, never having anybody who cared for her, just trying to survive, not justifying the sin by any means, but understanding the heart and the intent. And they were just trying to use her to get to Jesus. And their beam was worse than her splinters. Yeah. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, learn from this, stop it, sin no more. He didn't agree with her sin, but he understood her heart, her mind, her circumstances of life. Can I tell you, there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons people behave wrongly. If you don't understand those reasons, you will come to the wrong conclusions. Yeah. We are to cast out beams so that we might see clearly before we are concerned about somebody else's splinters. The progression continues. Go back with me. We're almost done right here, the end. So how am I treating others? The first thing is stop judging that which you do not have full knowledge of. And before you start condemning somebody else, make sure that you're in a place to be able to help them instead of hurt them by condemning them. Get yourself in a position where God can work through you as a help to those who are struggling. But you can't do that if you have beams in your eyes. How can you see clearly to pluck out a little splinter if you have a beam blocking your vision? Can't do it. And then verse 6. At first it seems out of place. Connecting verse 6 with verses 1 through 5. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This is what it's all leading to, I believe. This is probably the most important one for us to learn. It's a progression to this very thought here. Be careful not to give pearls to pigs. Yeah. In this progression of helping others, look what he says. He addresses that which you have, which is holy, and your pearls. That which is holy for a believer is what God is, who God is. It's how God would have us to live. It's the emphasis on the Bible. The Bible is the holy word of God. That which we have as born-again believers that God has entrusted us with. We are stewards. The Christian needs to realize that I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. And whatever God has blessed me with is His. I am to be a steward of whatever God has blessed me with, that which was holy and that which is looked at as pearls or valuables. Your life is valuable to God. It's valuable because He wants to work through you to be a blessing. He wants to work through you to accomplish the Father's will on this planet Earth. It's valuable. Your time is valuable. What God has blessed you with is valuable, and much of it is holy. You need to look at the things that God has given to you as being holy, and the things that God has blessed you with being valuable. And Satan would love to rob you of those things. He would love to take those away from you or get you to put them somewhere where God can't use them. Or use them only to have them be wasted. What God has given us, we're stewards. And then he says, dogs. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, and cast your pearls before swine. He's not actually talking about a literal dog. They would look to different ones that were ungodly, evil, no desire for God, as dogs and swine. those who would not be able to appreciate what you have for them. Evil. No desire for God, no appreciation for the things of God. He says a dog might turn and bite you or rend you. That's what he said there. Turn again and rend you. A pig would just not appreciate it, just trample them in the mud. And that which you had, which was precious in the sight of God, that he gave you to use, and now been wasted. And you don't have it anymore because you wasted it on dogs and you wasted it on swine. And Satan possibly makes you think that you are doing right by wasting your substance. When we look to help others, we must look to be used of God, to be a blessing to whoever God would want us to be a blessing to. We're to take the gospel to the whole world. But if somebody rejects the gospel and they actually want to persecute you for presenting the gospel, you shake off the dust and move on. If you stay there, you'll never be able to use what God has given to you. You have to move on. Don't let Satan steal your pearls. Don't let Satan steal what God has given to you, that which is holy. Use godly wisdom and spiritual insight to determine how God would use you to help others. It's a progression. But the question is, how are we treating others? How are we treating others? First of all, don't judge that which you cannot and do not have full knowledge of. Don't determine whether you're going to help somebody by you determining whether or not they're worthy. Jesus went to sinners. He was a friend of sinners. He was not a friend of sin, but he was a friend of sinners. He knew the heart and the intent. Now, don't judge. Keep yourself walking close to God so that you'll have this discernment to know how to help. Don't waste what God's given. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Powerful message that Jesus gave. We all ought to have a desire to be a help and a blessing to others and be used by God. He wants to use us. He saved us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He has commissioned us. He wants to work through us, but we have to look to him to make sure that we are helping instead of just wasting our substance. Father, we bow before you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be in church. Thank you for what we've received. Lord, I know this is a message you wanted to have preached today, and I just pray now that you would take it, make applications to each and every one of us that are here and helping us to understand this biblical truth from the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, there might be someone here that has never received you as their personal Lord and Savior. God, help that person to come to know that you love them and you'll forgive them of their sins if they'll just ask. You'll give them everlasting life. What a blessing. It's made available to all. I pray, God, if there's decisions that need to be made by believers here to follow you, I pray that you would just help them right now during this invitation to make those commitments, to do whatever it is you'd have them to do. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.